You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking to Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com Blue Jays beat reporter Gregor Chisholm. Gregor, as we speak, it is the morning after some highly entertaining conversations at Rogers Center last night, at least if you don't have a rooting stake. What's this all about? This apparently goes back a while between the Orioles and Blue Jays. What's the story here?
Yeah, there's some bad blood between these two teams now, dating back a couple of years, and it really kind of started between two guys, Darren O'Day and Jose Bautista. There was some words exchanged all the way back in 2013 where O'Day struck out Bautista and had a few words for him on his way off the mound. I think he had taken exception a little bit to some of Jose's supposed antics at the plate previously. And then the very next day after that, Bautista faced Darren O'Day again, and this time instead of striking out, he went deep. And that kind of started another war of words as he was rounding the bases. And then this is something we've seen continue. Darren O'Day and Bautista have had multiple kind of flare-ups since then. And then I think both teams got into it a little bit more late last year when there was a situation where Marcus Stroman threw over the head of Caleb Joseph, and that added to some more bad blood, and we've seen it carry over this year. So it really kind of started off with just two guys, but I think now, as last night was an example of, I think it's kind of being really felt through the entire dugouts on both teams, really 1 through 25, each guy. It seems like there's some real animosity, which is kind of really added something to the to a rivalry that wasn't really a rivalry before. I mean, usually with the Jays and Jays fans, you kind of think of the Yankees and the Red Sox, and not too many people think of the Orioles, but that seems to be the case now.
In my experience, and admittedly my experience may be unusual, but in my experience, this stuff doesn't happen for the most part without the managers having some, if not control, some say in the tone. I guess what I'm saying is managers can make this happen, and to some extent managers can kind of quiet it down. Is there anything between the two managers? Is there, if nothing else, it doesn't seem like they're trying to quiet it down any. Is this something that at this point at least goes beyond the players to where the two managers have any kind of issue?
Well, I think it certainly does, at least from the Orioles side on this, because Bautista is well aware of some of Showalter's comments that he's made. Showalter, it seems like whenever this happens, I mean, and you know Showalter as well. He can be sometimes a very great quote. And he's had some derogatory things to say about Bautista and the way that he approaches the game, and that's something Bautista has noticed. And so I think there's been a bit of a war of words there. And even last night, Bautista referenced it in his post-game interview. He kind of said that he thinks that the Orioles kind of, you know, as long as their manager conducts the way he himself on the field and off the field the way he does, he doesn't think this is going away anytime soon. So clearly there's a little bit, it's become a little bit personal on that end. Gibbons hasn't really gotten involved too much. He was very upset last night when they threw at Bautista for the second time in as many weeks and came out and argued. But he hasn't really had a whole lot to say during this entire thing. So he's kind of been staying out of it. I think that's going to have to change now, because I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon. But with the exception of the one pitch by Marcus Stroman last year, this has really been more on the Orioles side with the Blue Jays hitters. The Jays pitchers haven't gotten involved too much, with the exception of that one Stroman thing. Now, if the Jays pitchers get involved either later this series or the next time the Blue Jays go to Baltimore, then certainly you're going to see Gibbons' impact all over that as well.
And that kind of leads in the next thing I want to talk about. I mean, I don't want to be the "won't somebody please think of the children" person. But, you know, this stuff can get more ugly than it's gotten. I mean, there's a point to which you definitely do not want this to go. And as much as jawing can be entertaining, especially when it's real stars talking to each other, there's a point that you really don't want it to get to. And so my follow-up is I do wonder at what point do the managers talk, do the organizations talk? Is there some sort of player emissary to where you get to a point that you can kind of diffuse it and make sure that it doesn't go from guys jawing each other to people getting hurt.
Yeah, and that's a great point because, you know, as we've seen kind of with the A's Royals series recently as well, I mean, things can get out of hand in a hurry. And, you know, this probably would be a very different situation as well if Batista had actually been hit. I mean, this is the second time they threw behind him, so neither time were they actually able to connect. And that's a good thing if you're a Jays fan, because you don't want to see Batista getting dinged by baseball. But, you know, this is definitely in danger of being escalated. I don't know if it's going to happen this immediate series. Wouldn't be surprised if this is something that continues on, you know, later on in Baltimore, later on this year. I just think with, you know, Major League Baseball keeping such probably a close eye in this situation, the umpire is going to be all over it in this current series. That it might be something that happens later. But you're right. I mean, both sides probably would be best served to try and hash this out separately. But it just seems like this has been going on now for so long. I mean, the fact that this dates all the way back to 2013, I would have thought that the offseason away, after the apology Stroman gave last year and everything that happened there, I would have thought an offseason away would have been enough to get away from all of this. And then it really kind of caught me by surprise when Darren O'Day threw that pitch during the Orioles home opener series. That kind of, I think, caught a lot of people off guard and really kind of flare things up again. And so far the Blue Jays haven't necessarily retaliated except with Batista's bat. But if they ever decide to retaliate and actually throw at somebody on the Orioles team, then this could get ugly in a hurry.
Okay, there's some actual baseball stuff I do want to get to, so I don't want to go too far down this road. Rogers Center is a good place to hit. It's not Coors Field. It's not you know, it's not like hitting on the moon or something. It's a good place to hit. But for several years now, this team has absolutely raked at home, much more than the park factors would suggest. If we put aside the man in white stuff, what is it that makes this team so effective with the bats at home?
That's interesting. And it's, the ball travels really, really well at Rogers Center. As you said, it's not Coors Field, but it really is. It's a ballpark that the Blue Jays have kind of built their team around. I mean, it's ideally suited for guys like Batista and Encarnacion. I think it's really suited for a guy like Donaldson, especially after playing in Oakland for as long as for the past few years and coming over. Even guys like Justin Smoak, where a lot of fly balls kind of would end up, you know, relatively deep outfield at Safeco, but not really be in danger of going out. A lot of times those balls can carry. And it's, I think in the past, when it wasn't the home runs, I think the turf, the fast turf that the Jays had there played a factor as well. It's a turf that in the past played a lot faster than Tropicana Field. I think with the slower surface this year, that'll change things a little bit. But, I mean, the ball can really just fly out of Rogers Center, and this is a team that really has been built on home runs now, even dating well back before Alex Anthopoulos' tenure. But it's something I think the club has made a conscious decision of, to find guys who fit well in that ballpark, and they might not be good fits on other teams because of ballpark factors elsewhere. But when you bring them into Toronto, it kind of suits them a little bit better.
And also, I wanted to get, we talked about this every week, but it seems like it's getting closer and closer. What's the latest on Michael Saunders?
Yeah, Saunders, you know, is the positive news for the Jays, and that it looks like he'll join them Friday in St. Petersburg against the Rays. You know, it's the original plan was to have him kind of advance through the minor league system and go on a rehab assignment, not only with Class A Dunedin, but also work his way up through AAA Buffalo. That plan changed, and it's really because of the timing of the schedule more than anything else. The Blue Jays are going down to Tampa. Dunedin is a very short drive from there, so Saunders will just make the short drive over and join the team there. So the one disadvantage he has coming in is that he won't have faced a very high level of competition. He won't even have been able to kind of get up and face AAA pitchers. But the Jays seem pretty confident that the timing at the plate isn't going to be a big issue for him, because while he wasn't able to do much running and wasn't able to do much work in the field, he, for the most part throughout this entire thing, was still able to get at bats. And even dating back into spring training, he's taking at bats and just not running the bases. And so the Jays think that'll come along relatively quickly, and that's good news for a team that, you know, for as much as there was positive stories early on about guys like Kevin Pillar and to a lesser extent Dalton Pompey, you know, I think the shine's wearing off on Pillar a little bit. He struggled lately, and it kind of makes sense now to have a guy like Saunders kind of come in and assume the role that everybody thought he was going to be in on an everyday basis.
And then finally, I wanted to run by you because we are talking about this everywhere. It's the MLB Franchise 4 initiative. Wanted to ask, get your take. If you were to vote, and perhaps you already have, perhaps you are such a enthusiast that you've already gone ahead and voted. I find the Blue Jays one of the more interesting ones. It's not maybe as obvious as some. Who would be your four out of Roberto Alomar, Jose Bautista, George Bell, Joe Carter, Carlos Delgado, Tony Fernandez, Roy Halladay, and Dave Steeb?
Well, it really is one of the more intriguing ones I found as well. And it's I think Alomar is a no-brainer, even though he didn't have that long of a career in Toronto. Just the timing of where when he played here, and the fact that he went into the Hall of Fame wearing a Blue Jays cap, I think you automatically have to go with him. Roy Halladay to me is the best pitcher to ever put on a Blue Jays uniform, and I was a big Dave Steeb fan growing up, and Dave Steeb had a lot of great years, but I give the edge to Halladay on that one. And Carlos Delgado to me is another no-brainer. I mean, I was a little bit surprised that he didn't receive a little bit more attention in the Hall of Fame voting this past year. I didn't think he would get in, but I didn't think he was going to get in, but I was surprised that he was a guy who was removed after the first ballot, because he really did put up some very strong numbers. And then the final one would be, right now the vote is going to Joe Carter, and I completely understand why, because of his infamous home run and everything that he meant to baseball in Canada during the early 90s. But when you look at the numbers, I think Jose Bautista is starting to make a strong case for that. And Bautista hasn't had any exposure to the postseason or anything like that Carter did back in the day. But when you start looking at just the overall leaders in a lot of offensive categories, I mean, Bautista is really putting his kind of name all over that. And if you look at spots like WAR, I mean, he's got a chance to be a guy who has the highest of anyone who's ever really played for this team. So I think those would be my four guys. I think I would go Alomar, Bautista, Halladay, and Carlos Delgado.
All right. Well, Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.